For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast.
Fillmore's finest, Bronte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Play action from Rodgers again. Pressure off the edge, and the pass is broken up and now picked off. Intercepted by Flanagan Fowles after the tip by Lenore.
R-E-L-A-X. Relax.
Joe Buck on the call from ESPN. Aaron Rodgers, there was no relaxing last night. No baby, oh baby, oh baby, oh baby, oh baby. Our first victory show of the season. Niners beat down the New York Jets 32-19. Wasn't even that close. They had the ball for 38 minutes and 40 seconds. J.P. Mason, his first start ever as a member of the San Francisco 49ers. First start of his NFL career. Of course, he's spent his entire career with the 49ers. Runs for .147. Third most yards rushing in a player's first start in 49ers franchise history. Kevin Barlow's on this list. Carlos Hyde is on this list. J.P. Mason, it was his game. The offensive line was absolutely special. Pooney's a guy. He's a legit right guard. Trent Williams is back. He did a lot of pressure, so the line did their job. Both sides of the line of scrimmage. I thought the defensive line was really good yesterday. Offensive line was really good. They controlled the trenches, and they physically whipped the New York Jets. Physically whipped them. And now we move on to Minnesota. We will later in the week. But what a win yesterday, Shasky, to start the season. All the noise that we talked about. Super Bowl hangover, hold-ins, hold-outs, the Pearsall situation. What's going on with Shanahan and Lynch? What's going on at practice? You got to cancel scrimmages. Baldy, you never heard of a thing like that. And all that gets washed away by just one dominant victory. And what's the Niners didn't even play their A game. Shasky.
No, they didn't, but I think that that is indicative. Again, I said this earlier, but on a night where you're honoring Frank Gore, that was really a Frank Gore-like game. You know, it was a workman-like, just get the victory, suffocate the opponent, out-hit them. Little tiny, subtle movements by Jordan Mason to evade tackles and whatnot, yep. Using great feet. And I thought that the Niners were comprehensively very good yesterday. Yeah. Wasn't their best performance. But the other thing I keep coming back to, I don't want them clicking early in the season. No. They did that last year. I felt like they were humming on all cylinders to start the year last year. And looking back on it, I think they were doing it a little prematurely. I want them to hum on all cylinders come December. That's when I want it. So I'll take a victory. I don't scoff at it. But you know the Niners are good when we're out here dissecting wins.
Yeah. You know, last year they opened the season 5-0. They go on a 3-game losing streak, and they didn't get the number one seed. The year before, they trade for Christian McCaffrey after a slow start. They get to 4-4 before the bye week. And next thing you know, they're in the NFC Championship game and hosting a divisional round playoff game against the Dallas Cowboys. But one thing about this team that we underestimate, we look at their starters, right? Well, outside of Dominic Pooney, their entire offensive line is back.
Mm.
Banks, Williams, Brendel, McKivitz, and now you add in Pooney. And then you have Burford and Gutierrez Burford and Feliciano as backups. You're going to be fine there. Your wide receivers are back. Deebo and Brendan. Hell, your top three wide receivers are back. Juwan Jennings, Brandon Ayuk, and of course, Deebo Samuel. Your backfield's back with Christian McCaffrey and Kyle Juszczyk. But you know what? No McCaffrey, you just sub in Jordan Mason. So you're not missing. You got two new starters yesterday on the offensive side of the football. Continuity. Then you look at defense. Okay, you bring in Malik Collins over from the Houston Texans, but Leonard Floyd you bring in as a free agent signing, a very underrated free agent signing, but Buster Hargrave are back. Fred Warner's back. Diablo Lenore is back. Charvarius Ward is back. Tig Brown has a lot of experience. The experience he gained last year, kind of like Drake Greenlaw, his rookie year, where Drake Greenlaw was thrust into action due to Kwon Alexander getting hurt, but all that experience he was able to receive his rookie season catapulted him to another level. Now he's an all-pro, right? Same thing could be happening for Tig Brown as he's thrust into a role last year for Hufanga at the safety position. All of a sudden, he's got experience, and boom, he's got an interception against Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl, and he's picked up where he left off. The continuity on his football team was on full display yesterday. They have so much damn experience, that noise doesn't even matter. When they lock in, they're one of the best teams in football, Shasky. That's what we're dealing with here in San Francisco.
They are, and they're going to get more reinforcements at some point. And CMC, we don't know, right? So that's a big question mark, and it's a huge element of the team. So let's put him to the side, because you just literally do not know about that. Ricky Pearsall is going to come back, and I think that they're going to need him. They're going to need another guy who can get open. Again, we're only talking like B.A. just got paid $30 million, and he got like three or four targets. Right. Okay, so it's not like they're going to target him seven, eight, nine times in a game, but there's going to be a point in time as the season wears on where you're going to need him, and there's going to be a game where you're throwing from behind, and guys that can get open and get separation are difficult to find.
Right.
And if he can be one of those guys, I would love to see it.
Well, I'm looking at the snap count for the wide receivers yesterday.
How many did Ronnie Bell end up
with? Deebo Samuel, 53 snaps.
Wow.
Brandon Ayuk, 43 snaps. 60% of the snaps for Ayuk, 74% of the snaps for Deebo, 49% of the snaps for Juwan Jennings. He played 35 snaps, wow, nearly half the snaps. Chris Conley, 40% of the snaps, 29 snaps. Ronnie Bell, 13 snaps, which is 18% of the snaps. And Jacob Cowing didn't hit the field on offense, surprisingly, yesterday. George Kittle, 66 snaps, 92% of the snaps. Eric Saubert only played 19 snaps in that 12 personnel, but 26% of the snaps for him. Kyle Juszczyk, he played 56% of the snaps. He played 40 snaps at the fullback position. And so you got Jordan Mason basically taking up the bulk of the carries on offense there. So defensively, this is a little surprising. Devondre Campbell played every single snap alongside Fred Warner. Played every single snap. Demetrius Flanagan fouls in that 4-3 system, in their base 4-3 package. Played 12 snaps yesterday. 12 snaps. So you got a lot of continuity on this football team, man. A lot of continuity. And then three quarters, that's it. I'm actually surprised that Renardo Green didn't play defense or Rocky Sin. But it was basically Isaac Yiddum, right? Isaac Yiddum?
Yiddum.
Isaac Yiddum.
No, it's Sir Isaac Yankum.
Isaac Yiddum.
That was WWE. You
don't, Isaac Yiddum. You know, 39.
He was a dentist.
39 snaps. So
he just passed away. Psycho Sid.
Sid just passed away?
Yeah, I thought it happened maybe like a month ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Sid Vicious?
Yeah, Psycho Sid. Yeah,
he was something else.
Yeah, he was. I have PTSD. Jacob Cowing looked good back there as a returner. Every single time a punt goes in the air and we have a punt returner back there, whether it's Kyle Williams, Ray McLeod, I just, in my mind, for the rest of my life as a 49er fan, just catch it, 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 just catch it. You don't do that?
No.
Oh, I'm not alone on that. No way am I alone on that.
I'm not. No, you're not alone on it.
No way.
But I'm not going to watch. I don't watch every single punt. It's like, I only react if they drop it. Give me a reason to react to you.
It bothers me.
I hear you, though. I hear it. I hear you.
All big moments with the 49er punt return comes down to just catch the ball. I honestly am so triggered by the whole thing. In certain situations, I wouldn't even put someone back there. You think I'm joking?
No, I know you're not joking. That's why I'm laughing.
Well, you got to stop. Just hit the ball back.
No, I hear you, man. I hear you. I hear you.
I'm not even trying to be that guy, but it's like, dude, all these big moments, it's like the kick returner or the punt return, it's like, just catch the ball. Just catch it. Just catch it. Just catch it.
Well, Cowie did a great job catching the ball yesterday.
No, he did, but I'm saying, like, when the ball's in the air and I'm in the end zone, the whole time I'm going, catch it, catch it, catch it, catch it. Oh, good, he caught it.
Go down. I'm kind of with G. Martinez here on YouTube. G. Martinez. Cowie getting my benefit of the doubt till further notice. And I'm with them there. I'm with them. I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt until you give me a reason not to. Kyle Williams gave me a reason not to. Raymond McLeod at times gave me a reason not to.
I mean,
Jacob Cowing so far is perfect. Uh-huh. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt until a fumble happens or a muff happens. And then I will assess the situation from that point. But for now, it's a new guy. Yeah, new guy. I'm going to give him a doubt. I'm not going to be fearful of a guy fumbling in his first football game. We'll see what happens. Respect to James Earl Jones, by the way. Rest in peace to him.
Can you give
me
10 seconds on this?
Yeah, go ahead.
James Earl Jones, the greatest villain in television or cinema, the voice of Darth Vader. Like, it's one of the most iconic villains ever. period. He's a top three villain for everyone,
right? What would he be remembered for?
Bonte.
What movie?
No,
is this Star Wars?
The great ones are remembered for all of them, right? Yeah. Because obviously his contribution in Sandlot is
next level.
I mean, it's incredible.
Coming to America.
George gave you that? Well, I've got the entire 27 right. Yankees. Like, he was amazing in that. And then him
coming to America?
Coming to America is a classic as the dad. And then my other favorite one is, you know, Field of Dreams, which
yeah.
I watch back and I cry now because I think of my dad. But when he's talking about how baseball's lived on forever, that 2-minute soliloquy, he's one of the greatest. Mustafa in yeah. Lion King for younger yeah. people. My brother yeah. was Mufasa. A big Lion King Mufasa. Fan growing up.
Yeah.
You know, James Earl Jones for people of our age and a little bit younger and a little bit older. I mean, to say he's an iconic actor and voice and presence is an understatement. The guy is an absolute legend. He'll live on forever. And I just, man, what a life he lived. And, yeah. And a champion of sport and a champion of laughs.
Yeah, no, he was awesome in a lot of movies. I think he played Jack Johnson in an old school movie back in the day. One of the first movies I saw with him in it. He's been around for so long. I mean, he's been making movies since the 60s, for crying out loud.
Best smile ever.
I mean, it's the most iconic voice in the history of cinema.
I think
it's not even close
Luke,
to me.
Luke, I Am Your Father.
It's one of the, he is the all-time villain in the history of movies.
Luke, I Am Your Father. Where did, like, of lines in a movie, like, it's a top 10 line, right?
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
All time, dog. All time.
Nice.
I am your father.
It's, I mean, it's one
I mean,
of
it
the greatest.
Chills down your spine. That's just one of the great voices ever.
Ever.
Nah, he is. He does have one of the best voices ever. Shout out to James Earl Jones. James Earl Jones also read a book on KQED, no doubt about it. He's in it to so many movies. Let's go back to the lines. Daryl in Oakland. Daryl, what's happening?
What's up,
Daryl?
Hey, what's up, guys? I was thinking about training camp. And how you guys were mentioning two players to me, and I was listening to your show, you know, God bless. But Pooney was one of them, and I watched that dude yesterday, and he was absolutely dominant. I actually don't remember seeing a rookie guard dominate that thoroughly. I didn't know if the Jets sucked or if he was that good. But that's one. And two, I don't know where Mustafa was. You guys have been mentioning the DBs, and I was so pumped up to see that dude because I love a good safety, and I thought he was going to come out and see him. I don't know where he is. And so that's one dude that I missed because I really wanted to see him. Who doesn't love a good safety, especially trying to replace Tufanga?
No doubt.
They're gonna
work him along slowly. They're gonna work him along slowly, just like Jair Brown / Tig Brown, whatever you want to call him. They're gonna work Mustafa in early. You'll see him a lot on special teams, Daryl. Special teams will be his calling for right now.
Oh, and on Pooney, you know, Quentin Nelson, the guard that was drafted in the top 10, immediate just stud, right? Yeah. And we were praising them like crazy. It is interesting to me how we're all guilty of this, but this draft status sticks with you forever. Like Quentin Nelson, day one, he showed a look like, and he was very good. I'm not diminishing. Like, he's an awesome, awesome player. Had Pooney been a top 10 pick, people would be raving about him.
Draft positioning matters. Draft positioning matters. No
well,
doubt
actually
about
it doesn't, because well, either you can play or you
can't.
Well,
no, it doesn't matter in terms
narrative.
Of, it doesn't matter in terms of if you can play, but it matters for people who don't watch the game thoroughly.
Yes.
They say,
yes.
Well, this guy's a first round pick. You should have been this. You should have been that. No, you can find gems. There's so many damn football players and so many damn teams in America. On the college level, there could be a wide receiver who gets drafted in the fifth round next year. He's going to be a stud. We see it all the time in the NFL. We see it on this roster. They're premium
Fred,
players.
Kittle,
Purdy. I mean, you bring in Juszczyk, who's a fullback. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, his team is loaded. They draft very well in the middle rounds.
But they ran to the right side yesterday. That, to me, was whoa.
Behind Brindle, Pooney, and McKivitz.
Whoa, you're going to go to the right side? Now, they were wearing down Quinnen Williams in that, and because he was trying to line up on that side. B, can you remember this many runs going to the right side?
No, I can't wait to see the percentages later on today. Percentage of runs to the left, percentage of runs to the right.
Pooney's a beast.
They did a very good job. Again, 37 carries, and that's what Shanahan was pumped about after the game in the post-game locker room. He's like, dude, we got the 37. 37 carries. And when they feel like they get to 30, like the Warriors, when they get to their 311 passes, 317 passes per game, they feel really good. Well, the Niners feel really good when they get to 30 carries. And yesterday, J.P. Mason damn near got 30 by himself. He ran the ball 28 times, the most carries ever under Kyle Shanahan with the 49ers. Can you believe that? Jordan Mason. He actually said this after the game to CMC. He was like, you know, 28 carries. Hear what J.P. Mason had to say about his workload.
Can compare to what you dreamed it would be like?
Honestly, I told Christian, I said, I don't know how you do it, man. It's a long game, but, you know, this is just the beginning, and, you know, we're going to see where we go from here.
J.P. Mason, good for him, man.
This is a man who didn't play his freshman year at Georgia Tech, yep. Ran for 600 yards, almost 900 yards, mm-hmm. 350 yards, and then 440 yards in college. He was never a 1,000-yard back. Now, it's tough to do that in college. So, never a 1,000-yard back, and had a night where he went for 175 on Monday Night Football.
Monday Night Football. By the way, I got a needle you Star Wars guys. My boy Leon out there. Shout out to Leon.
What's that?
This is for Spadoni. Actually, Lovin's a Star Wars guy, too, for all you Star Wars freaks out there. He said Darth Vader started as a villain, but in reality, he was one of the biggest heroes. He saved Luke and sacrificed his life. Just perspective. Is that true?
Well, Darth Vader's the bad guy, but then Darth turned back into Anakin.
Exactly.
So check your boy.
Darth
actually.
Was more robot than he was human.
I didn't know. So I was asking, you guys get a little
don't come down.
Star
don't
Wars
come down
get so testy,
okay,
man.
Vontae, I don't
who's the guy on Twitter who comes at me about Star Wars?
Because you're wrong.
No, guys, no, I don't even care about Star Wars. I'm not wrong. Tell Leon wrong. He just gave some perspective. He's an OG who probably watched the original Star Wars in the movies while we weren't even thought of yet.
Well, 1984 was when Return of the Jedi came.
So,
I remember
you're 2 years old.
And,
I'm sure you watched the movie from
the
beginning.
The Emperor is zapping Luke, okay, and he's gonna like kill him. And then Darth is looking, and he's like, "No!" And he picks him up and he throws him over.
I'm leaving the Star Wars people. I'd learned very early that if you come at Star Wars, people will come hard at you. It may be worse than politics.
Kind of like the Niners.
It may be worse than politics.
You don't swing at the Niners, man.
No, no.
Come on.
You talk politics and people come for your head. Well, if you come to Star Wars, they want more than your head. You know what I'm saying? I'm leaving that alone. I'm going back to the calls. Let's go to Dave at Fresno. Dave, what's happening?
Good morning, boys.
What's
going
on?
Hey. Good win. I'm not here to be no negative Nancy. Just hear me out. Couple of little points I'd like to point out, and you guys kind of touched on it, the carries. But this is what I don't understand. As good as the game was for the Niners, I didn't understand the handoff, the Debo through the tackles. And I know Jordan Mason is young, and, you know, people say, oh, he can handle the low. I just think 30 carries in this day and age is excessive for any running back, let alone Jordan Mason. Well, coach has drafted a running back every year. He's been a head coach of the Niners. I don't understand him, you know, not able to find, carries for his other running backs. What was the point of drafting Isaac Arendo, but we're going to hand it off to Debo for a dive? I understand we won, but you now watching yesterday, thinking last year, like, dang, I wonder if Mason would have got some carries from McCaffrey last year, spell him a little bit. Who knows what, you know, the situation would be now. So, again, great win. I'm not here to poo-poo on anything. Just, I don't understand. I know Mason had it going, but the game was kind of, you know, it was over. You know, we could have gave Garrido 5-10 carries. I mean, is the learning curve for running back that hard?
Well, Garrido's been hurt, Dave. Garrido hasn't been on the field much. First day at training camp. He popped his hamstring, was out for a couple weeks. The first touch. We watched it in real time, saying, yeah, he's going to be out a couple weeks. And he was out a couple weeks. And then he comes back, and he tweaks a groin. So he's just not ready to roll right now. And in the first game of the season, who are you going to trust, a rookie who's barely been on the field in Isaac Garrido, or are you going to trust Debo to touch the ball? I'm trusting Debo Samuel all day long.
Well, and of all the people who's fresh, it's Jordan Mason.
Right. I mean, he's just wearing you down.
I mean, come on.
And it's like, you know, Mason wearing you down is like a pitcher, right? A great pitcher, a starting pitcher. He's out there throwing 7. And if that manager comes out and says, hey, we're going to take the ball from you, that other team in the dugout's like, oh, take the heavens. Get this guy out of the game. He's dealing. Well, I think the Jets thought the same way about Jordan Mason. Whenever he didn't get a carry, somebody in the Jets was like, thank God at 24 they run the ball. He's wearing us out. And that's what Jordan Mason does. And he seems like a guy to me who gets better as the game goes along. Well, he's better as the game goes along.
Yeah, I thought he settled in.
Right, he settles in, but then he gets carry number 20, and he's followed forward, and he's getting 5 yards a pop. Then carry number 25, he's getting 7 yards a pop, and he's followed forward for 9. And all of a sudden, you're in second and 1, second and 2. So I like when the bell cow gets fed and 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 fed. Let's go to we got Jerry Rice in 9 minutes, by the way. Jerry Rice, the great one's going to join us in 9 minutes.
We'll try to tap these calls.
This is going to be a lot of fun. Let's go to New Jersey. Kyle in New Jersey. What's up, Kyle?
Hey, what's up, guys? Just wanted to talk about how awesome that win was. Great way to start the season. And I was just so happy to see how great Mason was. I think we always kind of saw the potential, but unfortunately kind of has to back up the best running back in the business. So, just happy to see him.
Uh-oh, what happened?
Give me a favor. My wife, Diane, it's her 40th birthday today.
Oh, nice.
She's a Jets fan. She does root for the Niners for me, so I appreciate that shout-out.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Oh, and you know what? Since we're here doing shout-outs real quick before we go back out to the lines, shout-out to the Tunnel Crew at Levi Stadium. You know who the Tunnel Crew is? So you've brought up the starting introductions and starting lineups. So the guys who set all that up, they run on the field to set up the tunnel and the poles with the fire coming out in the flames.
You can feel
the
it. The tunnel crew.
I'm walking back to the press box. They go, Bonte, what's up, baby? You got a shout. I'm like, what's up, guys? What's going on? They go, what do they call you? You got to shout us out, man. We roasters. I said, well, what do they call you? We're the tunnel crew.
Oh, okay.
And they roll about 50 deep.
Whoa.
I said, the tunnel crew, huh? And so we got a little hype. We did a little pregame speech together. Like, let's go, Tunnel Crew. We got to get out there, make sure we set this up right for every day. They were fired up. They're big 95.7 The Game listeners. The Tunnel Crew at Levi Stadium. Shout out to you guys. Underappreciated for what you do on game day, the Tunnel Crew. All right, let's get back to the lines. Scott Livermore. Scott, what's happening? Scott. You're on the roast.
What's happening, guys? Happy Tuesday. Victory Tuesday. Oh, my goodness. That was a beautiful game to watch. I love seeing our guys coming out with that energy. Our defensive line looked like an absolute wall. It was just fantastic. I loved watching it. Our nose tackle we got from Houston making that tackle for a loss in the backfield. I was like, let's go. It was just fantastic. But the best part about it is I called the other week after Brian Eich signed his contract, and I was like, I can't wait to boo him for week one, get it out of my system, and move on and play ball. Let's go. He dropped a couple passes yesterday. They zoomed in on him, and you just see his face of like, oh, I messed up. You know? You just kind of see that he was almost slightly embarrassed that he'd let us down for coming in and dropping those crucial passes, regardless if we were winning or not. That was the humble pie I wanted him to eat. I got it out of my system. Can't wait for BA to come back next week and put up two tutties. It's going to be great. The Vikings aren't going to know what hit them. Can't wait to go make Sam Darnold see ghosts again. Have a great day, guys.
Why'd you shake your head, Sasky?
He wanted him to eat ghosts. Humble pie, and then he was going to move on. Okay. It's just an interesting thought process.
Man to man, Jennings.
Ayuk, he's a little rusty, Pate. You know, he's missed all training camp.
Get signed, get in training camp. There's a reason for training camp. You need it. We need the reps.
Oh.
Get those contracts done earlier so we can get in training camp. We don't drop balls on opening night.
Right, it's probably one thing catching passes, running routes. All of a sudden you're laying out for a pass, full speed, diving. That's why those happen in camp. You make those, you practice those. That's just a little rusty right there.
You're still catching balls at a high school field from some quarterback that's 45 years old my age. You're not catching balls from your quarterback. Get signed, get in camp, and we don't drop the ball.
Peyton Manning's not happy with that. Not happy with that. That was a dime. That was a dive for Brock Purdy. I think he knew it, too. It was a dime. He's got to catch that pass. Get a mulligan, but hey. You're the star wide receiver. You're an all-pro. You got to come up with that play.
One thing we do need to also understand is that in a game where you're in complete control for the majority of the second half, don't look at Ayuk's targets or the amount of times they threw in general as some sweeping indication whether you should pay someone $30 or $35 million a year or whatever it is. Like, give the full season an opportunity to play out before we start breaking down the finances of the team. That's all.
Yeah, I hope that's not happening after week one.
Oh, well, people week are going to react. This is why you don't pay a receiver $30 million. And it's just like, guys, there's going to be a time and place where you're facing a team where you're going to have to throw more. Last night was not that opportunity.
All right, we're going to get to everybody here after Jerry Rice. Eric in San Jose, Didis, Nick, BPA, everybody.
Hi, how are you?
We're going to get you on the air. We're going to get you on the air. Just hang tight. We're going to have Jerry Rice coming up. 888-957-9570. We have to talk to the great one who was live and direct. Live and direct there in the end zone. Getting loose down there for Monday Night Football with Goat Fuel. Jerry Rice joining the Morning Rose. He will do this once a month during the football season. Hell, maybe we'll get some double doses of Jerry Rice in the next month or two. We'll see about that. But Jerry Rice, the greatest football player of all time in my lifetime, better than Brady, better than Montana, was Jerry Rice. He's going to join the Morning Rose coming up on the other side. Brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises.
What up? This is Big Pump from South City. You are now listening to The Morning.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Motherfucking Rose with my boys Bonte and Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
All right, man, it's time to bring in one of our favorites, three-time Super Bowl winner, the greatest football player of all time, for my money. Barry, any quarterback, any lineman, anybody, it's the GOAT. It's the one and only Jerry Rice, and he joins us on the River Islands Guest Line. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands Guest Line. This is the time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop, and that roster with Goat Fuel is just expanding. Everybody's got it. I see Goat Fuel in Detroit. I see it in Jacksonville. I see it in Carolina. Hey, Jerry, man, Goat Fuel's everywhere. But I want to ask you to... Go ahead, Jerry. Yeah. Good morning to you, brother. Good.
Hey, we got ghosts everywhere, man. We got ghosts all over the world.
We got them all over the world, man.
That's what we want to promote, baby. We want to promote that, man. I'm still fired up from last.
Well, I got to ask you this, because I was watching you from the press box. You were in the end zone yesterday, and Breece Hall scored a touchdown from the Jets to make it 7-3. Oh, and he throws a football into the wall, and he starts chirping. And I saw somebody throw some popcorn, but I saw Jerry pointing at Breece Hall like, are you talking? It looked like you were ready to go strap it up, put on a uniform, and go out there and play, and go out there and smack Breece Hall. What happened to that situation right there?
Man, you don't come into Levi's Stadium and try to talk north at us, man. And he's going to throw the ball into the wall. I wish he had came over by me. I was waiting. I thought about jumping over that wall, man, because I wanted a piece of him. I really did. I was so fired up. It's Monday Night Football. You want to make a statement. And you think you're going to come into our house and you're going to do that? Then popcorn came flying, right, you know, from everywhere.
Jerry was just pointing, Shasky. He's pointing at Breece like, who are you talking to? Homie, get back here. You're a New York Jet. This is Levi's Stadium. And they really didn't do anything after that moment, Jerry. It was all Niners as they scored on 8 consecutive possessions yesterday against the Jets to start the season 1-0.
Yeah, man, and the thing is, man, oh my God, to see Jordan Madison to run that rock the way he did, I mean, it was like, man, it was like, okay, we're just going to just run it straight at you, stop us. And this guy, man, you know, with his frame and all of that, you know, he's able to dish out punishment. And but you know, hey, guys, I got to take you guys here because it's just been a crazy weekend, okay? Okay, with Tyreek Hill, then Dak Prescott, all of this going on, and everybody trying to, you know, get their, you know, fantasy league thing going and stuff like that. Then the hour before the game, they said McCaffrey is not going to play. Can you imagine what it's just been a crazy weekend, man.
Yeah, it really has. And Jerry, you know, I was thinking during the halftime show that they were honoring Frank Gore. And I know that you've been a big part of just being a luminary for the 49ers. Like, you've been an ambassador on and off the field throughout all the games. And Frank Gore was like, man, you know, to play in front of Jerry Rice, you know, with Jerry Rice as part of the Niners. Like, I was watching Frank, because I was there. I was lucky enough to be there at Candlestick for your induction into the Hall of Fame when the Niners honored you onto the field.
Monday Night Football,
they
yeah.
spread out the 80 and everything on the field. And for Monday Frank Football, to reference you, as well as other people, I just feel like you and Frank, you embody everything about being a 49er and class and the dignity and the respect. And like, you really do appreciate being a part of that 49er family. What if Frank Gore, like, did that hit you when he referenced you? Because I started getting all the feels, Jerry.
No, you know what? It really didn't hit me, but, you know, it was unexpected. But that's Frank Gore, man.
Yeah.
You know, I'm still mad because they didn't give him that ball, you know, in that Super Bowl.
Oh, man.
You know, 2 yards? Man, this guy, you know, this guy's a beast. He's an animal. And, you know, just for him to be able to go into the Hall is fantastic. It was great just being there on the field with him and just seeing his excitement behind that, his family being there. The fans giving him all of that love, it was just amazing. But what he did for football is outstanding. How he represents the game, what he does in the community, and you know when you speak of great running backs, you know Frank Gore is going to be right in that mix.
No doubt, he's going to be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. No doubt about that. Third all-time leading rusher in NFL history with 16,000 rushing yards. Frank Gore, good to see him get his moment yesterday. Levi's, we're talking to Jerry Rice here on the River Islands guest line. Jerry, Brandon Ayuk, and you posted a picture during the middle of the training camp of Brandon Ayuk saying, "What's up, Brandon?" And I thought, "Oh boy, Brandon's going to sign. He's about to sign." Jerry Rice put it out there in the ethos, right? And it didn't happen for a couple weeks, but it finally got done. So watching Brandon Ayuk, what he's dealing with here after missing all of training camp, trying to get his rhythm back or whatnot, and he dropped that dime in the back of the end zone.
Yeah,
and I thought of you right away. No matter if he makes $1 million or $30 million, that's what he's going to want back. I know, Jerry, you're sitting there like, you got to catch that dime there for Brandon Ayuk. What is he dealing with holding out, though, and trying to get his rhythm back? When can we expect to see the real BA this season with the 49ers?
You know, I think it's going to take a couple games, you know, for Brandon Ayuk. And, you know, I think we all are in that healing process right now because, man, it was crazy during the offseason. It was like a roller coaster ride back and forth. And, you know, I think with him, he's probably putting pressure on himself to make those plays. But, you know, eventually he's going to be able to just relax and just, you know, play football. But, you know, he didn't have any preseason ball games or anything like that. So the rhythm is off just a little bit. And when the regular season, when it starts, man, it goes to a whole different level. People don't realize that, hey, you know, the level that it was at during preseason, it was much lower. Now it's much bigger. And I'm sure, but, man, to see Brock Purdy drop that dime in there like that, man. I'm looking at this. I said, oh, my God, it's a beautiful ball, man. It's a beautiful ball. Now just watch it all the way in. And it was just unfortunate that he was not able to put it in. But I think his rhythm is going to come. And it was more of a, you know, I guess they wanted to run the ball, pound the ball, this ball game. And I'm thinking about that passing game is going to get together next week, you know, against the Vikings.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And I thought Brock is just in complete command of this offense and understands where everyone's supposed to be. You see him telling Saubert where to line up pre-snap.
Yeah,
and he just throws such a beautiful ball. I think his intermediate vision on when a guy's going to break and understanding of how to throw into certain windows is so underrated. Jerry, why does this guy continue to get dogged by mainstream media? He's a stud. He's a winner.
Yeah, he's a winner, man, and I don't know why. I don't know why they keep dogging him, but, you know, he was 19 for 29, 231 yards. Yeah, he didn't throw a touchdown or anything like that, but, you know, he demands respect in the huddle. He's not going to hold on to the football. You know, the anticipation, you know, you can tell when Jennings and Deebo Samuel, George Kittle, when they come out of their cut, the ball is already in the air. So I don't know why, but you know, he's just gonna keep doing his thing. He's Brock Purdy. He was Mr. Irrelevant. Now he's relevant, and he's gonna prove to the world, hey, look, you know, I'm that quality quarterback, and you know, I'm gonna take this team back to the Super Bowl.
No doubt. They held the ball for 38 minutes and 40 seconds last night against the New York Jets. They dominated, got the 37 carries. We're talking to the GOAT, Mr. Jerry Rice himself.
You know what I was fired up about, though?
Go ahead, Jerry.
This one reporter just kept asking me about Aaron Rodgers, man. He's like, he said, what is Aaron Rodgers going to do tonight? What is? I said, do you know where you at? Do you know where you at?
You know what, Jerry? It feels like these reporters or people were trying to test you. We saw what happened in Lake Tahoe. People talking Chiefs. People talking Kansas City, and you had to let them know right away. It's like, you want to try me? Try me then. Like, I've talked to you, Jerry Rice, before. I asked you, I don't know if you remember this. We were at a golf tournament, and I go, Jerry, you think you can run around against me right now? And you looked at me, and you poked me in my chest and said, homie, I'll run right through you. I'll take your soul. So from that was like a decade ago. So when the guys in Tahoe, they would try you, Jerry, and then you got a reporter telling you about Aaron Rodgers, I think they forgot who you were.
I'm like, are you serious right now? Look around this stadium right now. What do you see? You see faithfuls. I'm not, you know, it's great seeing Aaron Rodgers back on the football field, but it's all about, you know, I'm bleeding 49ers all the way, man. And we're going to go win this thing this year. We're going to take the whole thing.
Feels like
and,
it.
You know, and the thing is, but people are not talking about us.
Mm-mm.
They're not talking about us right now. So, you know, we'll just take the that professional approach and just win, you know, football games and get into the playoffs and get back to the Super Bowl and kick that door in.
Did you ever have a ankle calf injury like the something that McCaffrey? How'd you deal with it?
I had an ankle, and I had an ankle my first Super Bowl that I was going into, and I was unsure, man. I was really unsure because what happens when you got a sprain or something like that? You can go into the ball game, you can feel really good, but then, you know, after making so many cuts and running on that ankle and stuff like that, it finally going to give way, you know, and you can end up injuring yourself more. But, you know, I never have had a calf or anything like that. And what they're saying that, you know, with the calf muscle, it's starting to trickle down into his Achilles.
Mm.
Now, which that's a problem right there. That's a big problem, and you know, so we want to try to get him as healthy as possible. But you know, I think with the way Jordan Madison is running that rock right now, baby, you know, hey, don't rush him back. You know, don't rush him. That you know, when he's ready, you know, McCaffrey's gonna let you know. But you know, Madison is. He's excited about this opportunity, man.
Yeah, two games on turf next the next 2 weeks against the Vikings and Rams. Slow down McCaffrey. Don't need him quite yet here. But you play with a lot of great linebackers, Jerry, because obviously those teams that you played on had great defenses. Yeah. And you play with a lot of great linebackers. Fred Warner. Setting the tone. Last year, Jerry, it was Pittsburgh when he knocked out Najee Harris on the first possession and popped him. And it was like, yeah, this game's over. Pittsburgh's got no shot. And then yesterday, he's forcing the fumble with Breece Hall. What is it like to be a teammate with a great linebacker like that, knowing that on the defensive side of the football, I have a tone setter who's going to make everything okay in the run game or the pass game?
You know, I was watching that defense yesterday. You know, we were able to put pressure on Aaron Rodgers, you know, from that front line. And then to watch Fred Warner just flying all over the place, he was like a madman. I think he was just so excited to get the regular season going. But it's great when you have players like that. That's going to set the standard. Because I remember when we had Ronnie Lott back in the day, and we have had exceptional linebackers too. And those guys just wanted somehow to be around that football and just cause havoc and make things happen. And, you know, I think Fred Warner is that type of guy. And I think, you know, he's feel like he's that leader on that defense, and he's going to set the standard.
You know, Jerry, it feels like Debo came into camp motivated to prove everybody that, like, you know, I'm going to be in the best shape of my life, and I'm going to be an absolute factor and a force all year. Was there ever a point in your career? I mean, I know you had the injury and you came back just – you know, better than ever. But was ever a point in your year like where you felt that you had to prove it year in, year out? Or was there one in particular season that stuck out above the rest? Because it feels like he heard all of the critics from the Super Bowl and he's out to shut them up.
Hey, guys, I'm going to tell you, I had to prove it every year. That was my attitude. That was my attitude, that I was going to play my best football, you know, not only for my teammates, but for the fans. So that became a responsibility. That was one of those things that motivated me to always be in the best shape of my life. And I felt like I owed the fans, you know, quality football. So, every year. I mean, for 20 years, every year I felt like I had to prove myself. And I had already put up outstanding numbers, did all of that, you know, won Super Bowls and stuff like that. But it's just it's one of those things that you take a lot of pride in. And I think that was the motivating factor for me that kept me pushing myself so hard.
Are we ever going to get you coming out of the tunnel with Big Trent and Debo?
Hey, man. Hey, that would be so much fun, man. I'm telling you. Hey, because we didn't do that back in the day.
No.
We didn't do it.
No.
So, hey, man, I probably would just I probably would be exhausted by the time I get on the football field if I'm dancing.
No, but Jerry, seriously, I watched the way you strut out to that field when you first hit it in your suit, the big chains, and the Super Bowl rings, and you strut out to the football field like you are warming up with the team. And you're sitting there watching them run their routes before the game. You're watching the pregame routine. I'm like, look at Jerry. I bet you, like, kind of like T.L. Terrell, whenever we talk to Terrell Owens, he goes, oh, yeah, I can still play. Somewhere deep down inside, Jerry, I feel like you can still go out there and get the Niners 25 snaps.
You know what, man? I'm still living that moment through the Niners. I'm going to be honest with you. You know, for me to have the opportunity to actually step on the field with those guys, you know, watch those guys run their routes, you know, being able to dap them up, you know, and just have that interaction and stuff like that. You know, I'm very thankful that they look at me as that supporting cast, and I'm just out there, you know, just to support them. And you know, it's real cool, and I'm very appreciative, you know, towards that. But, yeah, you know, you always feel like you got maybe 10 or 20 more plays than you or something like that. Because I started running, and even the guys that was doing the commentary and doing all that stuff, I was running into those guys out on the football field, hitting them. And they're looking at me like, Jerry, are you crazy right now?
I thought I saw you and Ricky Pearsall having an exchange. I don't know if it was personal and you want to explain it. But, I mean, the young man is obviously very lucky to be alive and not hurt more serious, and we're all thankful for that. If you mind sharing, you know, I'd love to hear what the greatest wide receiver of all time is saying to another first round draft pick who we're all just happy is safe and okay.
Well, I just first of all, I just wanted to make sure he was okay, and he told me he was ready to go. He was like, "Hey, man, I could go right now." So he had that attitude, but man, I told him, you know, it's a blessing, and you know, for him to actually go through what he went through and still be standing here. I think it just shows that this guy, you know, he just like, you know. I don't even know how to explain it because of what happened to him, and for him to still, you know, be standing, and because it could have went south, you know, and it's just fortunate that, you know, we all are fortunate that he's still able to be on that football field, and I'm sure he's going to be in that uniform soon.
Absolutely. You brought up attitude, Jerry. How about the attitude of Juwan Jennings?
Mm.
He's undeniable, and he just gets better and better and better. Who does he remind you of, Jerry? Juwan Jennings.
I'm going to tell you, man, Jennings, I'm going to be honest with you. If we had won that Super Bowl, he probably would have been the most valuable player.
Mm-hmm.
He's that type of player, man. I don't. He just comes out of nowhere. He makes plays. He makes plays, and he's moving the chains. He's doing all that. And, you know, right before the game, I got a chance to dap him up a little bit. He said, respect. He just walked up to me in respect. And I looked at him because, you know, he's a tall dude.
Right.
I said, yeah, man, respect, man. Go get it. And, you know, he loves the game, man. You know, he's going to always come in. He's going to impact the game. Yeah. He's going to make those difficult catches. And he's going to move the chains.
Yeah, he's got like a Mike Wilson quality where you forget about him on the team. And then, boom, he makes a big play. You know, I love that. Hey, Jerry, Debo and Kittle were in the receiver dock. Would you have ever signed up to be in the receiver dock? You know what I'm talking about on Netflix?
Oh, yeah. You know, I didn't get a chance to see that. Yeah, I didn't get a chance to see that. Someone said, no, you know what? I'm not going to see it.
Okay. Yeah, leave it alone, Jerry. We don't want you to go viral. Would you have signed up for something like that,
though? Would you have signed up for reality TV?
Right. Would you have done that, got mic'd up throughout a season, and signed up for a documentary like that?
I don't think I could have done that, guys, because There are some bad things that happens on the football field, you know, and a lot of bad stuff comes out of my mouth. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. Maybe if it was X-rated or something like that, yeah, you know. But, man, you guys would not know some of the things that happens on that field. Yeah. And I want to be me. Yeah. I don't want to be someone else. If something is not going right, you know, I'm going to let my teammates know it. And it's and you know, it's going to be said in a way, you know, not to bring anybody down, but, you know, just to get everybody going.
I could see that, Jerry. You get 15 targets in the game, and you're like, yo, you could have gave me those 18 targets, man. I'm open every play. I'm Jerry, man. Throw me the sled. No, you're right. Hey, Shask, I kind of understand where Jerry's coming from. The receiver, Doc, probably would not have been good for
him. I can't be mic'd up, man. I can't be mic'd up, brother.
Nah, you're too serious, man. No, Jerry, we love having you on the show. Can't wait to do it again. This Niner season, I'm fired up. All the noise, speaking of which, real quick, because you guys had a lot of noise during your heyday. You had nothing but stars on the team. There's always expectations. Oh, the team's going to break apart. Look at these guys. This team continues to show with this core group that the noise doesn't mean a damn thing. Once it's time to kick off and start the season, they're ready to roll. We've seen this for 2 years in a row, despite all the noise from training camp in the offseason, Jerry.
Yeah, man, that just shows the maturity of the team, the great leaders, you know, with Brock Purdy, with Fred Warner, all of those guys. And these guys are still hungry, man. They feel like, you know, we have some unfinished business. And, yeah, you know, it's great to, you know, get there, but we got to kick it in. We got to win that trophy. And I think we have a legitimate chance this year. And it's going, you know, start by game, not looking that far down the road. And getting better as we get towards the end with all the momentum and stuff like that. And then once you get in the playoffs, there's a whole new ball game.
Jerry.
So I like where we are right now.
I feel like I'm not to the degree of the hatred of the Cowboys, but I'm getting very close when it comes to the Kansas City Chiefs. Like, we got to beat them. Jerry, we got to beat them. We got to beat them.
Hey, we got to beat them because we don't want them to three-peat. I'm going to be honest with you. And we came very close to three-peating. And that still hurts. That still hurts. Yep. But, you know, I think we have a great chance of winning the Super Bowl and, you know, beating the Chiefs and also beating Taylor Swift.
Yes. and we want to beat those guys up in Edgewood who were trying to heckle you while you played golf.
What was that?
That's where it started, you, Jerry.
You want some of me? You want some of me? Here I am.
I love you, Jerry.
Man up. Let's go.
Jerry, they need some go fuel, man. Go fuel. Go get some go fuel, man.
Hey, look, I got my go fuel. I'm good to go,
man. You stay charged up, Jerry. Let's you stay charged. And all congratulations, Jerry, too, with your son making his debut, hell man, with the Chargers. That's pretty awesome. Cool, man.
Yeah.
To be a father and probably have your son in the NFL. And I know you feel proud.
Yeah, and also I'm a grandfather for the first time.
Congratulations.
My daughter had a beautiful boy.
Nice.
7 pounds, 9 ounces.
Has he running routes yet?
Yeah, I was going to say, did you throw him a brick already?
He got big hands. He got big hands and big feet.
Did you throw him half the brick already, Jerry? Jeez. Let him live a little bit. All right, Jerry. Good stuff, man. Always good to talk to you.
Have a great day, guys.
You too. Jerry Rice, the GOAT here on the River Islands guest line. River Islands guest line. Jerry, so fun, man, to talk to. He really lives in that. So when Breece Hall scored, you saw how the way he threw that football. I like it when an enemy comes in and they throw it. He threw it so hard into the wall. You go watch Jerry. He's like pointing at him like had to be held back, and then popcorn goes flying out to the field. And Jerry's like, yo, Breece, get some, dude. So,
when I seen him throw that ball,
you know, it's interesting.
Oh, my God.
Hearing every player, like I heard a podcast with JT Snow and with Rich Aurelia, and they were talking about how Willie Mays was such a part of Giants spring training. Do you know how lucky we are that almost every home game, Steve Young and Jerry Rice are there?
Yep. Yep.
Almost every home game.
And now you're getting Patrick Willis at the games.
Patrick Willis at all the games.
Yeah, I know.
Frank Gore. Who was the guy, by the way, in the background of the Frank Gore thing on the phone the entire time?
Did you see that guy?
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, point being is that we're very lucky that these guys go to all the games and are on the sidelines and stuff. I'm walking into the stadium. Do you know the center, 49-mile walk-in or whatever? It's me and Rocco and my buddy Jamie. And all the crazy jerseys. Oh, there's that. And Rocco goes, bro, is that B.Y.? And I go, it is. And it's John Taylor. So we walk up on him, and I go, yo, B.Y., what's up? No one knew who they were. And B.Y. is humongous, yeah, of course. Is. And I go, hey, thanks for coming on the show, blah, 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 blah. Super nice. I go, yeah. John Taylor, you're my partner's yeah. favorite player yeah, yeah, yeah. of all time. He goes, I'm 62. Don't I look good? I'm like, hell yeah, you look good.
Dude, John Taylor was running material at the Bay Area Sports Hall of Fame with Guru and I. But continue.
No, but like as a Niner fan, you know, and Kalsic was great. But yep. one thing that Kalsic didn't have was that, like yep. that access to the older players. Yep. And so for them to be at the forefront, I think that's one area where everybody loses their mind about this. And that, and Jed, and Denise, and Dr. John. You know what they've done a great job of?
Bringing back the alumni.
There's not a question in my mind, and we're very lucky when the game is paused and you see a 9 or 10-year-old, and the dad says, hey, look, it's right. Jerry Rice on the Jumbotron, yeah. and Jerry's in there with the fans, yeah. and he's going crazy. That's the kind of stuff that me as a lifelong yeah. third, fourth generation Niner fan, like that hits me in my soul.
You know, it's a great point there, and I think the Bay Area teams in general do a great job at that. The Warriors have really embrace for it with sure. Al Idols. The Giants have done it for many, many. The Giants may have been at the forefront with it, with having Willie Mays and Willie McCovey, Juan Marichal, and the baby boy Orlando Cepeda, and all these guys come around here. Hell, Bill Lasky's doing shows now. You know what I'm saying? They've done it great. I think the Giants were at the forefront, and then you get the Niners celebrating their rich history because people forgot about the rich history, and the youngsters don't know about the rich history. So to see the Bryant Youngs and the John Taylors and the Jerry Rices, and they really embrace the fan base, and they're like, you hear from Jerry, he's still a Niner. He don't claim the Raiders like that.
Did you hear Frank Gore yesterday?
Frank, absolutely.
I almost shed a tear. He goes, I had that dog in me.
You know, Frank Gore.
Oh, my God.
Frank Gore, being a Niner and being in the Hall of Fame, and now Patrick Willis. And so and you see with the Warriors, with Rick Barry coming around, and Clifford Ray, and Mully's still part of the equation, and Festus is now part. So these Bay Area teams, in general, they all kind of like, it's a competition now. Oh, you want to bring the alumni?
Yeah,
I'm going to bring these guys out. And it's great for the fans to see the history and see the living legends out there representing the teams.
When you're sitting in that south end zone near the Foghorn, and you got Jerry chilling with fans, and what I mean, like literally you could reach out and touch them, I just think that there's an approachability that Jerry has as to me, he's the greatest living football player ever. Yep. We can talk about greatest quarterback, and he's one of the greatest players of all time. Yeah, the longevity, the excellence.
He's the greatest player. I mean, he had a Hall of Fame career going into his 30s. And then go look at his career when he turned 30.
It's
actually sick. It's actually like you look at Barry Bonds, baseball reference, before we get to the calls. We got full lines here, and we'll get to everybody as we recap the Niners' opening season win against the New York Jets, 32-19. Wasn't even that close. But you look at Jerry's stack. All right, so the accolades, Hall of Famer, 13-time Pro Bowl, 10-time All-Pro, 3-time Super Bowl champ, NFL MVP, all 90s team, all 80s team, 2-time AP Offensive Player of the Year. And then you get to the year after 30, right? He turns 30 in 1992. He goes for 12-01. Then as a 31-year-old, he goes for 15-03. Then he goes 14-99. Then he goes 18-48 1995 as a 33-year-old. Then he goes 12-54.
Come on, man.
He turns 36, and he goes 11-57 as a 36-year-old. Oh, then he goes to the Raiders as a 39-year-old. He just receives 1,139 yards. Then he goes 12-11. I mean, the guy was going for 1,000. He had a 1,000-yard season as a 40-year-old. As a 40-year-old running routes in the NFL, it goes for 12-11. That's how deadly Jerry Rice was.
He's just one of the greatest players ever. And it's just, I think it's really special that you get all these guys. And so to hear Frank Gore bring him up, he's like, when I used to see Jerry Rice, it'd get me fired up. I was like, dude, hit me in my soul. And now I'm thinking to myself, Christian McCaffrey now gets to see Frank Gore. That's how old we are, right? And I don't know. I thought it was special. And on a night where Jordan Mason, kind of pops for the entire country, Niner fans would be like, give Mason touches. Give Mason touches. And to do it with all the alumni there, with Bryant Young, with Vernon, with Patrick Willis. I thought it was cool.
Guy McIntyre is always around. He showed up to the summit.
How about
Guy
Tom McIntyre. Raffin? They showed a side-by-side. And Tom's fingers looking like Baldy's fingers in this thing. It was just, I don't know, it hit me in my soul.
Let's go to Vernon Davis, his speech during Frank Gore's halftime introductory speech here.
Frank is not just the greatest running back of all time. Frank was able.
I was a dog.
Able
To do that, that's few and far between. One thing me and my teammates learned from Frank is how to be a pro. Every morning I walked into the locker room, Frank was there. His nutrition, the way he took care of his body.
I was a dog.
That had me so fired up.
Frank Gore,
because Frank never showed any emotion.
No, he didn't. He did. He did.
I was a dog.
He did, man. He was so
keep
good.
Keep that on the board.
He was so good.
I love Frank Gore so much.
Let's get out to the lines, man. Let's go to Dennis in the city. Dennis been on hold the longest. We'll get to Dennis. We'll get to JC. We'll get to Nick. Where is Yoki, the New York Jets fan? Yoki, you can't call the morning roast. Pop your top. Start talking that talk.
That Sunday.
And then disappear a day after you get your ass kicked. Yoki, I may not even want the jersey anymore. I just want to hear your voice, Yoki. Dennis, good morning to you. What up, Dennis?
Morning, guys.
What's up, Dennis?
Hey, good morning. Are you there?
I'm here.
I'm here. Good morning.
Oh, good morning. All right. Yeah, it was great football starting again. God, I watch with my two sons, you know, it's hard to argue with Shanahan because he's had so much success and I'm a fan of his, but at the same time, what drives me crazy is that, you know, he doesn't have any trust, it seems like, in his backups. Mm-hmm. And that was the case last year with Mason. You know, you probably had a lot of callers last year about Mason, you know, like McCaffrey being used so much.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that there was no try. We were crying last year for him to give McCaffrey a break and put Mason in. And he didn't do it. And now look at McCaffrey. You know what I mean? Yeah. McCaffrey, who knows? Who knows what's going to happen with McCaffrey? He led the NFL in touches last year. And you look at last night. Why did he have Debo in there running the ball late in the game when the game was you know, already, you know, won? You know what I mean? And me and my sons are sitting there going, now he's going to get Debo hurt. You know, he's going to run Debo into the ground. And by halftime, Debo was already spent, it seemed like.
Well, it's
know?
The first game of the season. Cardio's not up yet, Dennis.
No, but to Dennis's point, I'm
trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again. With Northsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse wrap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts.